get to the place where we all hopefully recognize more and more all that God is and what he's doing and desiring to do in us. Yeah, it's something that, you know, the Lord said to me a while back when we were praying one day, and recognizing that, you know, just what I said earlier about all that you are and all that you're doing in us, through us, and for us. And that recognition of all that God is, and that he is working, because it's God working in us, right? Philippians 2:13, it's God working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God's always at work in us. And so we want to recognize he is working in us. He's working through us. He's working for us. He's doing everything to help us get it. Get the word, to get his blessings, to get the goodness of his love, to receive all that he is. Turn over to the book of Philippians this morning, if you don't mind. If you do mind, it'd probably be a good exercise to do it even better then. We don't want to let the word get in our way of... We don't want to let ourselves get in the way of the word. Maybe that's a better way to say it. You know, the book of Philippians is an amazing place, and there's so much here. Chapter 3, for me, has been a place that I feel like I'm starting to get a glimpse of what it is we're supposed to see, you know? For the most part, I don't think we get all that we're supposed to see. I don't think we begin to take the time to, oh gosh, how do I even go? Lord, help me. You know, when we are in worship and you're able to start to just press into God and start to touch heaven and you can sense it. You always do. You're always talking into the spirit realm when you're speaking to the Lord. But are you aware of it? You know, that's the big deal. Are you aware of it? Are you cognizant of the fact that you really are touching heaven and that heaven is reaching out to you and the Lord is actually coming? You know, he said his arm's not been shortened. He's still the same God he was then. That we read about in the Old Testament, cities are falling and giants are toppling and all kinds of things are happening. And you're like, wow, amazing God. Ah, look out. Don't get on his bad side. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he said, the works I do, it's the Father in me that does the works. So wait a minute. I see a God of anger in the Old Testament, and then I see this nice Jesus who's happy and fluffy, and the kids want to come visit him. And it's like, no. What you're seeing is an effect of sin in the world that God's coming against. And here you see, now that Jesus is here, he's not having to deal with the sin. He says, I'm going to be the sacrifice for sin. So now you get to see me more fully. You get to see deeper into me. And so that seeing into God, or as we would say in our language, we would call it intimacy. And I've heard it, many people refer to this way, into me, see. Because you take the time to get to know someone. So in Philippians 3, let's start off in, verse 7. In the previous verses, well, I guess we'll have to go back and read a little bit. Let's start in verse, how about verse 4? Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I have more. I've got more reason to have confidence in the flesh, to believe that what I am and where I am, my position in life is stable and established because of what I've come through. I'm circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Man, he is top notch. My pedigree's good. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Man, I'm after it. Those Christians ain't getting away with nothing. I'm getting them. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's an amazing statement. Here's a guy saying, I was living the law and I was blameless. Wow. But what things were gained to me? Because at that point, Paul was at that place, he's like, he's in line to become one of the top Pharisees. He trained under some of the top leaders. He's in line. He's a somebody. And he's saying, being a somebody, What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What? Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything is loss. It's all a waste. It was all a waste of time compared to the excellence of the knowledge of knowing Christ. He says, when I know that, everything else falls away. Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, all that stuff that I had, all the somebodies, all the degrees, all the amazing things, all the fame and all the things that went with it, I count it as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may win him, that I may know him, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but having righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Why? That I may know him. He says, everything I had, being a somebody, being on the road to success and fame and all this stuff, is all a waste that I may know him. That's my aim. That's my goal. That's my desire, is to know him. There is so much in these verses that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I haven't got there yet, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You know what he's saying? Jesus has done some amazing things for me, and I don't want to miss out on them. I want to start reading through this a little bit in the Amplified, because it's, if you got one, you're probably already going, yeah, amen. So in we'll start off in 7. I wish we had the projector so you could read along, but if you got your eye device or your phone or whatever, break it out. It's worth it. If you got an Amplified, lean over, share with your neighbor. Whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. You know, to count your entire life as loss. When I got saved, my wife and I, we got saved when we were 28. I was 28, you were 26. Much younger, much more beautiful than I am. We had moved from California where we grew up, and we had moved to Fort Collins, Colorado. And I'd left a very good job there, but it was no place we wanted to raise our family, and being in Los Angeles. And so we made the move to Colorado. Her dad was there at the time, and she said, you know, her folks had divorced when she was young. She wanted to be near her folks, or near her dad at that point. And so we moved out there, and I went to work and couldn't find a job that paid anywhere near. It was a depressed time in the market and so forth, and there were no jobs to be had doing anything, hardly. I found a job swinging a hammer. I had been working as an outside salesman for PPG Industries and doing real well. And as a young man, and it was marvelous time. It was a lot of fun. So I went to work swinging a hammer for, I think, $6 an hour. Yeah, whatever minimum was then. And ended up getting hurt and tore out a knee and ended up just busted up the knee real bad. Laid up for a year, couldn't work. So came out with, you know, left a big job with big money, came out to no job hardly with no money, then lost the job, had no money, still had all the bills I had from before. So it was like, this is a bad situation. We had just bought a house and everything's tumbling down. And at this point, we're not living for God. Sure seemed like a good idea at that point. I said, maybe we ought to go find us a church. Something about what's in you. You just know there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So we found a church in the phone book. I looked through the phone book, and there was one with a real pretty ad. And it just said, first love lasts forever. I said, gosh, that sounds nice. It sounds happy. Had a picture of a sun and everything. It was like, ooh, how nice. So we went and hobbled into this church on crutches and, you know. And These people just loved us. They just absolutely loved us. We'd never experienced anything like that. To just be accepted and loved. And I say that to remind you, you affect people. You have the opportunity to affect them in a positive way, or you can let yourself go and affect them in a negative way. But you will affect people. And they affected us in a marvelous way. And we found God there. It was a love we had never experienced, anything like that. And because of that, it drew us to the Word. And we ended up getting saved and Spirit-filled in that church, and it was a blessing. Got hooked up with some marvelous people. And everything, when I started reading the Bible, I told my wife, I said, everything I thought I knew was wrong. I said, I'm surprised I had enough sense coming out of the rain. Everything is wrong. I was having such a hard time getting my head around it. This is what Paul's saying. He goes, I count it all as loss. It's all loss. Everything I thought I knew is all wrong. Go on to verse 8. Yes. Furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. Listen to what he says here. I mean, this is where you want to be careful that we don't just get chummy with Jesus. Oh, hey, everything's good. You know, we're like this. And it's like, no, hang on. Yes, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our brother, yes. But, you know, kind of like, you know, I suppose the president right now has a couple of daughters. And he's the president, and they don't necessarily have to go through proper procedure. They can still come run in and sit on his lap. You know what I'm saying? There's that place of honor and respect. They probably don't do that every 5 minutes because he's in big meetings, and they understand and respect the office. We need to respect the position that God's in. But remember, we are his children, so we don't have to be afraid. But we should have an awe and a respect and an honor for who the Lord is. So Paul says, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving, recognizing, understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I've lost everything and consider it all to be rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Oh my gosh. We don't get it. There's so much more. The overwhelming preciousness. What's precious to you? This is precious to me when I see a little girl sitting on her daddy's lap. That's a melter for me. And I see her just beaming, thinking, my dad's the greatest. And dad's thinking, this is the greatest thing in the world, you know? It's the best. And that's the way the Lord looks at us. He just wants us to sit on his lap and let him hold us. The overwhelming preciousness of knowing him, being intimately acquainted with him. What does that mean? It means there's not just a surface level with God. There's so much we can get into. And the more we come to, the more we find. In him we see light. And it's like that light is just more. And the more we come, the more light we see. There's a constant unfolding of the goodness and of the glory of God that we can come to. And it's like, that's where we want to press into as people. We want to keep after that. So Paul's expressing that he's found that this thing. And he says in verse 9, that I may actually, it's like, this is mind-blowing to him. It's like, how can I even fathom? I may actually be found and known as in him. Oh my gosh. Not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, its ritualistic uprightness, supposed right standing with God, as if that's going to help me, he's saying. but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the truly right standing, which comes from God by saving faith. And here we go, verse 10, this was the spot. For my determined purpose, okay, he's got a purpose. What's your purpose? This is what it comes down to. In this life, what is our goal? What are we chasing? What's the key? You know, is it the fame? Is it the be a somebody like Paul was? You know, is it the success? Is it the deceitfulness of riches like Pastor was reading? You know, is it those things we're chasing? Is that our determined purpose? That I'm going to achieve this, I'm going to achieve that. He says, my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. The power that comes from knowing him. Roberta and I, when we were in Missouri, you know, I had a pastor explain it to me like this one time. He said, you know, you talk about the gifts of the Spirit and all the different things that go on there. He says, you know, if you consider like the drawer in the kitchen and you pull out the drawer, there's lots of spoons. He says, you got a teaspoon, you got a tablespoon, you got a gravy spoon, you got a ladle, you got a slotted spoon. He goes, they're all spoons. But each one serves a purpose. And he said, the gifts of God are kind of like that. He said, God can call you something. You may be one like another, but you're going to have a little bit different take on it because you're slightly different. You're still a spoon, but there's something about you that's just a little different. And that's okay. It's the way the Lord designed you, just like you don't use the slotted spoon to serve gravy because it makes a mess all over the place. There's certain things that God's going to use and different people he's going to pull from because their giftings are just a little different. They're going to fill in that spot. So Roberta and I, we tend to get used a lot in prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, stuff like that. And so people would see that and they go like, wow, you flow in the gifts. That's amazing. Teach us how to flow. How does that work? How do you do this? You know, and it's like, it really started to bother me. We used to teach people that all the time, but all of a sudden it's really started to grate on me. And I asked, I said, why do you want to know? Their purpose was wrong. They didn't want to know him and the power. Okay, yeah. Is that 1 Corinthians 12? Yeah. Jump over to 1 Corinthians 12 real quick. Hopefully we got it there. Just strikes me, so. 14, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14. This is one of those simple truths in life that help us all. And it says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The pastor talked about that at the beginning of this year. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Problem that these people were having, they were pursuing spiritual gifts and desiring love. That's not what the scripture says. Pursue love. That's pursuing God. That's chasing God. That's to know him. And desire spiritual gifts. They were going the other way. I want the gift. Oh, teach me how to do this. I want to be. And I'd ask them why. And they said, well, I want to be able to lay hands on people. Didn't we read about that with Simon the Sorcerer, the book of Acts? I want to be able to do this. And I want to be. And I want to. And I want to. And I want to. Your focus is wrong. It's about you. It's not about Jesus. What happened? You're supposed to be yielded to him. You know, we're supposed to be broken vessels. And it's like, no, it's not about you. And I love you. I'm going to get in your face and did. And just try to help him. I said, you're missing the point. You're thinking it's about you. You're thinking it's about the power. It's not. The power is an outflow from the love, from the relationship, from knowing one another. You know, it's like, ah, I don't want to go off too wild. Well, I do, but I don't. It's like, Alan and Deb, how long have you guys been married? 24. Better now than the beginning? How come? You know one another. All the quirks, all the sillies, all the stuff. It's okay. you love one another, and you go past things. He said to become progressively more acquainted. It's over time. It takes time, and you go through things. My wife and I, 31 years, and it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, there's quirks, and there's things you know, and the first day it's like, oh, we're in love, it's wonderful, and it's like, you don't have a clue yet. And it's like, but you start to learn, and you recognize, and you find your strengths, and you find where you work together, and it's a joy, and it's what it's supposed to be. But as you go through things, and this is where a lot of the so-called love gets missed. Kind of like what we read in the scripture where it says, you know, when the sun comes up, it finds out there's no root in that seed, and it just dies right off. You got to have some root. You got to be willing to go through the things. When hard times come, and they will come, it's learning to look to God to help you. Jump over to Proverbs 3. Everybody should ought to know this passage. It's one of those hallmark things that really help us establish ourselves as Christians and learning what is our place and how we should function. This is just one of those truths that helps us walk through things in life. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. And we can stop right there and say, if you do that right there, you're a success. You want to be a success? Trust in the Lord. So he tells us how good it is to do that. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. With all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What is our typical reaction when something massive comes? Oh no, what will I do? What am I going to do? We're leaning on our own understanding. What am I going to do in this situation? Don't do that. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart, not half your heart, not half-hearted, do it heartily. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does that mean? What does it mean to acknowledge? Involve, that's a good word. Anybody else? Acknowledge? How about look to? Recognize? Call upon? Include? How's that? Inquire of, there you go. You're acknowledging, you're saying, okay, I can't do this. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I don't know how. So Lord, I need help. Help me, Lord, it's a good prayer. How do I do this? What do I do? And He'll direct your paths. You can go on. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's like, wake up. This life is not about us. And that's the joy of it. People think, well, that's bad news. No, that's good news. Because when you learn, you can't. Because I don't know about you, I tried for a lot of years. I didn't say I was 28. And I was trying to do a lot of things. Did I do very well on them? Not really. I did pretty well. I was pretty much a knucklehead. And I was a lot of fun, though. But going through things, you find out that's where the value is in the relationship. You go through things that are hard, and you look to God, and you lean on God, and you acknowledge Him, and you let Him help you. And when you do that, you find strength in you. You find strength instead of the roots withering because they had no depth. You're drawing now, and now there's strength that comes. I may be continually transformed. Oh, my goodness. Verse 11. That if possible, I'm sorry, yes, back to Philippians 3 in the Amplified. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. That's what I mean. There's so much in here. It's like we can spend weeks on every every topic here. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection. Did anybody here besides me have trouble before they got saved with maybe their morality was a little off? We need a moral resurrection, you know what I'm saying? Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me his own. I am my beloved's and he is mine. He's laid hold of me. And I want to take what he's gotten for me. He came, lived, and died so that there were certain things I could receive. And he wants me to have all those things. That's why Pastor's been talking to us about preparing our heart, so that we'll be ready to receive all that he has for us. Because if we come with a right heart attitude, it's easy to receive. Now, you've probably never been that person when you were a kid, but maybe you've seen one or two. The three-year-old, the four-year-old who's screaming in the store, and you're trying to drag them along, and they're fighting the whole way, and they're yelling and saying stuff that you're like, oh my. You just don't want to bless that child. That's not your first thought. Oh, how cute. Let me give you something. That's not what comes to my mind anyway. I want to give them something, all right? This was the store one time. This was a tough one on me. This was the store. I'm waiting to get my fried chicken. I'm standing at Albertson's waiting to get my fried chicken. And there's this lady in front of me. She's got her two kids. And the one boy, he's standing there. And they had all the King's Hawaiian rolls. Oh, those are so tasty. Sitting right there by the cat. And he's standing there. And he puts his fist onto the rolls and falls onto them. And crushes them. And I'm just like, what are you doing? I wanted to give that kid something. That was just... Oh, those pretty fluffy rolls going to nothing. And it was like, but you know, yeah, trying to pull it back. The idea is that we want to be those that can receive from God. And when we're fussing and screaming, the inclination isn't to give. We have to learn some things. We have to learn some discipline. We have to learn to control ourselves. You know, that's why talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and right at the end of that is self-control. That self-control is a gift from God, and it's to be developed. And we learn to develop that self-control so that God can then give us more things. Because when we're off being silly and we got our hands full of stupid, we can't really receive anything good from God because our hands are full. And he wants us to learn to drop all that and receive what he's got for us. So in verse 13, he says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. So he's got a purpose, which is to know him, and he has an aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward, pressing on to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. What is the prize of being called upward? I think that's the prize, being called upward. It's to know him, he said. That's the goal, to know him. Okay, so if I want to know my wife and get to know her, become more progressively acquainted with her, we start dating, you know, I say, this is a good thing. And I say, I want to deepen this, I want to go further. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out with the boys tonight, and I'm going to go hang out over there, and then tomorrow I'm going to go play golf, and the day after that I'm going to go out and I'm going to do some other things. I got some other things to do, and maybe in a month or two I'll get back to you. And I'm loving this relationship. It is so good. It's like, there is no relationship there. Guess what I have to do? I have to die to my own desires. If I want to deepen this relationship, then this one has to get lighter so this one can become of more value. So if I want to deepen this relationship, then this earthly relationship to things around me, my own personal desires and things, those have to become lighter. I have to let those go. I have to begin to die to those things. That's why the scripture talks about, you know, dying to self, about bearing our cross, about, you know, letting all these things happen so that we're not chasing after the flesh. if we let the flesh rule us, I'm not entering into this one. I mean, that few minutes we just pressed into God right here, that was precious. And it's like, that's all it takes. Just take a minute to press into God. He's right there. You know, the wonderful thing about my wife is if I call her and say, honey, I'm coming home early today from work. You know, she's willing to drop everything. I say, I want to go out. I want to take you someplace. She's like, great, let's go. To her, there's nothing more important than the relationship. One of the things that I've been learning is that the Spirit of God, He craves that. You think about it. He's always talking to us. Nothing against my wife, but she's always talking to me. I'm thinking there's a correlation here that in many ways God is trying to show us, and especially for those fellas that are married, we're so blessed because there's a picture here. If you got a mom, you had the same picture. I trust everybody here had a mom. Of someone who loved them and cared for them, who was always talking to them, who always had their best interests at heart, who always was there to help guide them, who was always there to try and bring them up into a better place. Well, that's what my wife's always trying to do for me, and that's what the Spirit of God's always trying to do for me. He's always trying to teach me. He's always talking to me, and it's for my benefit. He's always trying to take me to a new place that's deeper in Him. He's calling me to a deeper relationship so that I may more progressively know Him and become more intimately acquainted with Him. It would not bless my wife if I brought her a jar of jalapenos because she doesn't like jalapenos. That would not be a blessing to her. I know that because we've spent time together. I don't want to bring her something that's a curse. I want to bring her something that's a blessing. When I come to God, I want to bring Him something that's a blessing. Well, what's a blessing? A wrong attitude is not a blessing. Lively flesh is not a blessing to God. He'll deal with it because He loves me. He's not going to condemn me for it. He's not going to get angry. He's not going to reject me. But you know what? I could honor Him. Jesus said, let's go over to, thank you, Lord. Go over to the book of John, chapter 14, I think it is. I've been reading a bunch the last few days. I'll just say the book of John. I'll get better when I get there. Glory to God. We're talking about getting to know Him. We're talking about becoming closer to Him. You know? So at the end of chapter 13, let's go there. Verse 36. So John 13, 36. Peter says to Jesus, he says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. He's getting ready for the crucifixion. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And it's like he's trying to get him. You already understand you want to attain to God. You know God's a good thing. You know that's a right thing. He said, you believe in Him. That's good. But believe also in me. Trust me that I am who I said I am. You've been walking with me all this time. Believe in me. Then he goes on in chapter 14. He says, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? Okay, he's talking about relationship. Think about this for a second. For 3 years, Jesus walked with these boys. What did they do for 3 years? Okay, because there's like 19 recorded miracles. God could have knocked that out in an afternoon. Not a big deal. Walk around, oh, there's a blind guy. Boom, let's heal you. Okay, you know, there's a paralytic. Boom, let's heal you. Okay, let's run over and get there. Boom. He could have knocked that out. No problem. But it took 3.5 years. So what was Jesus doing with these boys for 3.5 years? Well, they were hunting, they were camping, they were fishing. It was about relationship. It was about getting to know one another. God's perfect plan was to spend time intimately, one-on-one with these boys so they would know Him. Every once in a while, all heaven would break loose. And they'd be like, what is this? What do we do? Oh my gosh, this guy just, what? And they're all looking at each other. And they look and they go, well, we know Him. He seems to be okay most of the time. This is a little weird. I guess we'll deal with it. And then it just happens again, and it happens again. And they're like, I don't know, but we know Him, and I know His heart is right. And there's something there that's just so right. There's love that I've never experienced. My heart tells me this is right, so I guess we keep walking with Him. And it's kind of like God always wooing us deeper, deeper. And the first time I saw somebody pray in tongues, I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I'm looking at my wife. What do we do? What do we do? He's like, but there's love. There's love. I guess it's okay. Let's go a little deeper. See somebody get their hands laid on them and, you know, they get healed or something. And you're like, I don't know about this. Is this right? Is this normal? Should this be happening? I mean, this is new. And you come to find out there's love. It's right. It's okay. And God's drawing you deeper, drawing you deeper. And Jesus says, have you not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe? Oh, here we come to the key point. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the words themselves, of the works themselves. Jesus said, would you trust me? Really, would you believe me? Will you have faith in me? Will you trust that I am who I said I am? That I'm good, that I love you, that I want to bless you? He's trying to teach us all through this. Go over to Hebrews 11. You see the same picture. This is all about getting to know Him. And that's the purpose of our life. And that's what Paul said. He knew that the purpose of this life is to know Him. And so the only way we get to know Him is by experiencing Him. We take the time. In verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That He is what? He is who He said He is. Who did God say He is? Well, we've got those wonderful compound names He revealed Himself as. He said He was Jehovah Rapha. He said He's our healer. He said, will you believe me that I am your healer? He who comes to God must believe that He is. He said, He's our peace. Have you ever called upon Him to be your peace? Has He ever manifested Himself to you? That's probably a better question. Have any of you ever experienced the peace of God? You're in a situation and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden, bam, the peace hits, and you're like, wow, I didn't think I'd handle this like that. He's revealed Himself as your shield. You know, as your banner, He's going to be over you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to keep you, you know, as your presence, you know, as your provider. We got to come to Him believing He is who He said He is. That's why He told me, you know, what, I've been with you. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Really? Believe me. Why? So that you can receive from me. Jump back to Deuteronomy. I want to show you something. Something I love. It's one of my favorites. I get excited. Deuteronomy 28. I don't want to read through this the first few times. It's very confusing to me. And my Bible has got the little subheading and says, blessings on obedience. And then over in verse 15, it says, curses on disobedience. And so 28:1 says, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to obey carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obeyed the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated by your face. They shall come out against you one way, flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you. It's like, man, this is good stuff. I like this. This is good reading. And it's like, I like that. And then you jump over to verse 15. It's like the exact opposite. Man, if you don't listen, you're cursed here and cursed there and cursed this and cursed that. And you're just, oh, you're a wreck. You're a disaster. You're going to be destroyed. Your enemy's going to come. They're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. And you're like, man. But you know what? I heard Brother Creflo say it like that. He goes, in the Old Testament, if you did good, you got good. And if you did bad, you got bad. That's just the way it was. Because of Jesus, now, we don't have that. But what you see is the desire of God. And if you read in verse 15, okay? It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And he says, cursed shall you be, cursed shall you be, cursed shall you be. So follow down to, oh gosh. So hard because I don't want to go too vicious with all the kids. So it's like... But let's see, and how about verse 63? And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. Why? Because it's talking about an attitude of the heart. It's talking about obedience versus disobedience. It's talking about a willingness to love God and a willingness to reject God. And really, that's what he's talking about. And when you read through these passages, especially you get up into chapters 29 and 30, and you start seeing where God's saying, I call heaven and earth against you this day. What he's saying is, oh my gosh, please, he's pleading with, if you'll please, please let me bless you. Please. Read it with that in mind, that he's pleading with his people to receive the blessing. And Jesus is going, boy, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's seeing mercy come out all over. He's going, that's what God's like. But what they knew was this, oh, if you don't do good, bad day. What they didn't understand was the good was all God wanted. That's all he wanted was the good. Yeah, 30:19, choose life, yeah. Amen, amen. And so what Jesus was saying was, boys, get to know me. Believe I am. You already believe in God, believe in me. They're saying, well, I don't know that I can believe this because you're so good and that God guy, he's so mean. He's going, no, we're the same. There's just no longer a wall going to be here. So take that to heart, that the desire of God in this is that we would all come to know him, become more intimately acquainted with him. That's the goal. That's what Paul's saying. That is the goal of this life, is to know him. I'd encourage you, take some time to get to know him. You already know him at some level, right? My wife and I have known each other at some level through the years, but it's gotten better through the years. Did it mean there weren't some rocky times? Oy, there's been rocky times. But if you go through them, you come out stronger on the other side. It's not, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Oh, I'm living in the promises of God. I'm in tribulation, There's times you go through. Guess what? Everybody goes through it. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to lean on your own understanding? Are you going to get angry and bitter? Are you going to get frustrated? Are you going to forget God and just look at the circumstances and, oh, God must have forsaken you? No, don't do that. Get real. He loves you. He gave his son for you. Romans 8 talks about how he who gave us his son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's not withholding anything. His desire is only good and only to bless. And only. So just read, you know, that first half of chapter 28 there in Deuteronomy, and you go, that is God's plan for me. That's his desire for me. That he could bless me in the city, bless me in the field, bless me here, command the blessing of my son. That's his desire. Now it's based on my heart attitude, how much of him I want to know that allows that to come my way. I can either be an open channel for God to flow through, or I can be a nasty hair clog in the pipe. How many want to be a hair clog? Anybody? Not typically. That's an attitude of the heart, and we don't recognize. So much of this just depends on us. It really does. Hallelujah. I think we're good. I think we're very good. I think the Lord was doing his best to help us get that today. And I think we've gotten there. So, we'll just thank you, Lord. We're just going to pray and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're so good to us, always. Always good. You're always good. And your desire for us is good. Your heart towards us is good. Your son is good. Your spirit is good. Your word is good. Your children are good. All the brethren is good. The family of God is good. Being with you is good. Experiencing you is good. To know you is good. To be yielded to you is very good. Lord, we just thank you because your word is truth. Your word is life. It brings to us light and revelation. Your word brings freedom to us. If we'll let your word teach us and us not get angry and bitter or just think, oh, well, that's just old hat. I mean, come on, really? If we'll let your word, Colossians 3 tells us to let the word of God dwell in us richly in all wisdom. But we have to let it. So, Father, we choose to let your word come in and dwell. We choose to let your word dwell in us richly. We choose to give your word value in our life. We choose to give it weight. We choose to honor you. We choose to bless you. We choose to speak blessing and not cursing. We choose to know you. This world has nothing for us. Heaven is our home. We are ambassadors for you. We thank you for that. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be yours, to be known by you, and that you intimately know us. You know the very number of our hairs on our head, and you desire to know us deeper. You're longing for us just to come to you and say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, we say yes. We say yes to you. We say yes to your desire for us. Because you love me and you chase me down. You don't leave me alone. You said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. But you said you love me with an everlasting love. And all my brothers and sisters the same. Every one of us precious to you. Every one of us yours. And you love us heartily, with gusto. Yes, without reservation, you love us. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for the fellowship of the brethren. We thank you that we can be yours. We give you praise and glory this great day. And we honor you for all that you are. And all that you're doing in us, through us, and for us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. anybody's not born again, not filled with the Spirit, come on up. We'll pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, come on. We'll just pray. It'll be good. If anybody wants to just sit and soak, I think Martin wants to play for at least an hour. There you go. But you know, it's that opportunity to be His. This life, it's not about the performance. It's about the being. So learn to just be His. And when you're His, life gets easier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.